The cartoonist Art Spiegelman drew one of the most memorable images after the September 11 attacks. It's hard to believe that a cartoon could have any effect after we'd seen all the photos and videotape of that day, but Spiegelman's artwork did. Readers of the New Yorker magazine received a cover that appeared completely black. Only on the second look do you see the slightly darker silhouette of the World Trade Center, two buildings that Americans kept expecting to see on the skyline long after they were gone. That image now forms the cover of Spiegelman's book, In the Shadow of No Towers. It is Spiegelman's first book of comics since Mouse, an acclaimed work about the Holocaust. And Art Spiegelman is in our New York bureau. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
You actually scrambled to find your son on September 11, which is something you draw in the book.
Yeah, our son after our daughter, because our daughter was right next to Ground Zero at Stuyvesant High School. And whenever that first tower fell, we were outside, my wife and I, going out to vote. We live about 10 blocks from the tower. There was a kind of primary election that day. We saw the plane go into the building and went running down to our daughter, who was in school 2-3 blocks away, and were in Stuyvesant looking for her when the second plane hit. And the lights went out in the building, and we found our daughter among the 3,000 or so students and got her outside just in time to have that second tower go crumbling to the ground right behind us. A little bit later that morning, we went rushing over to get our son, Dash, who was about 9, out of the United Nations school nearby.
What's it like to go through that experience and then go back to the drawing table?
Let's see. I mean, for me, what happened was, while still in a state of having eyes like pinwheels and trying to catch up with getting more perspective on the event, meaning able to see it on TV the way the rest of the planet did. After that, I realized that I'd been drawing covers for The New Yorker, writing essays, doing everything but drawing comics when I could avoid it. And sometime on September 11th, I think I had kind of epiphany that, gee, it takes forever to draw comics. You're about to die. You should have done more comics, schmuck. And as soon as I was able to get my brain reeled back in, I began working on what eventually became this In the Shadow of No Towers book.
The cover drawing was published in The New Yorker, but you say that many of the other cartoons that you drew were not published in the United States initially.
Yeah, that period when these strips appeared, which was between September 2002 and September 2003, was not one of the glorious moments of the American press. And I began feeling like I was under house arrest or in internal exile. If I wanted to draw about, I don't know, what they call post-traumatic stress of both the hijacking and attack on the towers and the hijacking and attack on the world by America's government afterwards, then that was easier to find venues for in the old Europe.
Well, you did draw an image that suggests that you feel equally terrorized by Osama bin Laden and President Bush.
What I was talking about is an accurate depiction of my scrambled state. And as far as I'm concerned, I did feel equally under attack and under siege, because the way the towers were hit and what happened after shouldn't have been reduced down to a war recruiting poster immediately afterwards. And I felt that as a usurpation of an event that had much broader consequences. And so I did feel that attack.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about the scrambled state of mind that you felt you were in. You're, of course, as an artist, trying to make sense of things. As we mentioned, you did Mouse, which tried to make sense, if that's the way to put it, of the Holocaust, something that happened to your father. There were 40 or 50 years in the family to try to make sense of that. How do you manage to translate onto paper what is happening right before your eyes without necessarily that remove of years to absorb everything and think about it?
Well, for me, it had to do with using comics in a way that they function best, which has to do with stopping and starting time. That moment when the towers fell right behind us was a moment where time seemed to really stand still. And so one image keeps repeating, which is the glowing bones of the tower, which wasn't the image seen on television, but was the image seen by people standing where we were 5 blocks away. That image repeats over and over again on these large-sized pages, and has coming out of it little shards of thought. Some of them seem polemical or political, some of them very much anecdotes from one time or another. So what I was able to do was find, through different drawing styles, ways of collaging together what my brain was.
Looking through this book, which is so colorful, so many different colors, many of them disturbing oranges and reds, pictures of people in panic, pictures with people whose eyes are pinwheels, as you said yours were at one point, the imagery seems to get older. A woman's listening to a radio, and it's a radio from the 1930s or 40s. You turn back to older and older times, and then finally at the end, you actually reprint some comics from 100 years ago.
Yeah, and that's actually, the way you just said it is very nice, because what it is a consequence of that moment of time standing still and then getting oriented back into time again. Looking at the ephemeral culture of 100 years ago is what got me through it. The way other people were listening to and reading poetry, I found myself able to take comfort from old newspaper comics that were meant to be used for wrapping fish. They were ephemera 24 hours after they were made. And that early moment spoke to me as something very current, very present in a time when things that were meant to last forever, like 110-story towers, seemed very ephemeral.
Art Spiegelman is the author of In the Shadow of No Towers. And Art Spiegelman's September 11th New Yorker cover can be seen at npr.org.